Sabbath greetings, one and all, and welcome to our Friday evening church service. Beginning of the Sabbath for many of us, and here on the West Coast, Sabbath is still a couple hours away. Welcome to those on the phone, and Sabbath blessings to those listening to the recording, and glad to be in fellowship and union with you all once again. Praise God for His merciful blessings and for His divine protection, watchful care, leadership, guidance, and for ruling and overruling in all our affairs according to His perfect will and love for each one of us. Our opening song is titled, He Leadeth Me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis Christ's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp my hand in Thine, nor ever murmur or repine. Content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis Your hand that leadest me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since Thou in triumph leadest me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. leadeth me. And wherever our Savior leads the way, it is indeed the best and the safest to follow. And praise His holy name for His great love and compassion to each one of us. It's time for opening prayer, and so please let us bow our heads as well as our knees as we come before the Almighty. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for thy many and wonderful blessings, thy answers to prayer, thy watchful care, and overruling providence in each one of our lives and affairs. Thank you so much that we are a day closer to getting off of this wicked world and going home. And we pray that you will continue to help us to get prepared, to make ourselves ready, for the bridegroom cometh and is drawing nigh. Thank you, Father, that the loud cry is indeed going forth and the Holy Spirit is being poured out in latter rain power. And this dark world is becoming more and more ablaze with the knowledge of present truth. We thank you, Father, for the small part that you've given each one of us to play in this great work of yours. And we pray that you will multiply our efforts, that indeed an abundant harvest may take place for your glory and honor and the swelling of your kingdom. Let Babylon be emptied of every single precious soul, and let them cling to the Savior as their Lord, God, and Redeemer, that they may indeed be saved and not lost. Thank you so much for being such a tender-hearted Father and God, and I pray that you will take control of this meeting, control of our hearts, and pour us out a blessing that there will be not enough room to receive, that we may indeed be filled with a knowledge of the understanding of truth, and that much more better prepared to give you glory. Dear Savior, we also ask that thy presence will be here in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and may we indeed be led and guided into all truth, away from all error, all stumbling blocks and barriers removed, that we may see the uplifted Savior and may fall more in love with him and indeed follow where he leads us. We pray that you will continue to be with our dear sister Lynn and with all the others that have requested prayers. Please hear and answer their petitions, and thank you for already doing so according to thy perfect will. Again, Father, we thank you for being our God and allowing us to be your children. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, one and all, and glad to have you with us tonight. We're continuing in our study book of Patriarchs and Prophets. We're in chapter 36, about half of the way down on page 407. And our study book, Patriarchs and Prophets, can be found on our website at lightministries.com/ID818.htm. And the last thing that we were discussing last Friday evening was that even though the children of Israel had grievously rebelled against the Lord and turned traitor to his direction and was fighting against his chosen servants, wanted to change the order of thing that God had already established, and judgment had fallen upon the disobedient, and they had to go back into the wilderness because they were not prepared to enter into the promised land. Even though they were rebellious, and even though God was humbling them, He did not remove His blessings from them. After 40 years of wandering, their clothes did not wax old, their shoes or sandals did not wear out. They had the grace and the strength to continue forward. God gave them manna every morning, except, of course, on Sabbath morning. Fed them or quenched their thirst with water. So even though they were under the judgments of God because of their rebellion, yet God still manifested His blessings for their welfare. In doing so, God was trying to get them to choose to love Him in return, to follow His will, because His will was for their best interest. And He was also trying to get them to understand that their physical life, although important, was not their only life. And if they wanted to have eternal life beyond just this temporary physical existence, then they had to learn how to follow a thus saith the Lord. Not a thus saith their own heart or own mind, but a thus saith the Lord. That way, they could truly live forever. But they had to go back 40 years to try and learn that lesson. In other words, they had to unlearn everything that they had grown up with, so that as little children they might be re-educated to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph, He found him. He, or God, found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, precious possession. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. Now, they were the ones that rebelled against him. He didn't forsake them. And yet, in all the afflictions that the children of Israel went through during those 40 years, Christ suffered with them. So in all their affliction, he was afflicted. Continuing. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bared them and carried them all the days of old. And that was taken from Deuteronomy 32:10 and Isaiah 63:9. This shows us how loving and compassionate our God is. How earnest He is that His followers do not perish, but are able to gain eternal life. He identified His interests so much, so complete with the children of Israel, that He was willing to suffer along with them and not leave them to suffer alone. He was innocent of any wrongdoing the children of Israel were guilty of doing wrong. But God chose to be so closely united with his erring people that he felt what they were going through. Now, this was before the Lord God Michael became human and was Jesus Christ. So here, the Lord God Michael was showing, identifying himself closely with his people, even though it was another 1,500 years before he would be born an Israelite. In all their affliction, he was afflicted along with them, all because of his love and his pity, his compassion. Sometimes we look at what the Bible brings out regarding the character of Jesus Christ, and we think it's just isolated to when he was born. But we don't understand that the Lord God Michael became Jesus Christ. So the character we see Christ manifesting was the same character he had before he was born in human nature. It was the same character that the Father has that Christ chose to image. So what we see here of the Lord God Michael being so closely connected with his people to suffer along with them is exactly the same character as God the Father. God is love. Christ manifested that love, revealed it to us. Next paragraph. Would someone like to read that? Please go right ahead.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. Continuing the reading. Yet the only records of their wilderness life are instances of rebellion against the Lord. The revolt of Korah had resulted in the destruction of 14,000 of Israel, and there were isolated cases that showed the same spirit of contempt for the divine authority.
Are there any thoughts, any comments that you're impressed to make or would like to bring forth regarding this paragraph that was just read? Please feel free.
It's amazing how when we read the history of the children of Israel and their journeys through the wilderness, and sometimes we might be led to think, how could they do that after God just did this or after God just did the other? But are we not, speaking of myself especially, the same when we murmur and complain against situations that may arise in our life because we think that everything should be roses, so to speak, when we know that the Lord suffered for us? He even died for us. So who are we to complain when we have all sorts of issues that come into our life that, you know, exactly, Sister Jean, in spite of my blessings, why do I complain? And I say the same, you know, because God so truly cares for us. And sometimes, you know, we're told that trials are the Lord's workmen and it helps to mold our character. And if ever we needed our character to be molded, it's right now when we are to be getting ready for Christ's soon return.
Amen indeed. And you know, the problem with the children of Israel was they kept looking to self. And when they looked to self, it allowed the devil to take the situations around them and to magnify them into gigantic mountains of woe. And we do the same thing. When situations come to us that trouble us, God is trying to get us to look away from self and to look to Him. If we look at self, we're only going to be that much more downcast, that much more discouraged, that much more, amen, that much more worrying and anxious. And thus our faith grows less and less. Our trust in God wanes and weakens. And all we can see is hopelessness. That's what led the children of Israel over and over and over again to rebel against God, because they were focused on themselves. And they felt they had to take matters in their own hands in order to bring about a solution to the dilemma. But God, in His mercy, kept revealing to them over and over and over again that He was a miracle-working God, that He could bring about a solution to the problem that they never even considered possible. Because He was God. They didn't look to Him when they came first to the promised land, and all of those mighty foes presented themselves before them, and they trusted in their own ability to defeat them. And when they realized that they were giants in the land, and the cities that they inhabited were mighty fortresses with walls and defenses, and they were just like grasshoppers in their sight, that's when they lost all hope. And they decided that it would be better for them to go back to Egypt than to try and enter the promised land. They forgot God's miracle-working power to bring about a solution to the problems. And we fall into that same situation today. When trials and tribulations come upon us, God is trying to get us to look away from self and look to Him for the solution to the problem. If we look to self, the problem is going to be enlarged and increased in our imagination, because Satan is right there to bring about discouragement. And then we think we have to try and save ourselves. And that's where God is forgotten, and we make all kinds of blunders in seeking to remedy the situation in our own strength. But God in mercy doesn't cast us aside. He reproves us. He seeks to correct us. He seeks to lead us not to repeat the same rebellion against His will, the same denial of Him as our God. So how long is it going to take for us to finally look away from self and fix our helpless souls upon our loving, compassionate Savior? Looking unto Him, the author, the beginning, and the finisher, the perfecting of our faith in God. But 14,000 Israelites lost their lives because of looking to self. And there's going to be a lot more that lose their lives because they were slow to learn the lesson. I pray that not a single one of us here loses our lives before we wake up and learn the lesson. Amen. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. When you're looking to self, it's impossible to be still. But when you're looking to God, you can indeed rest in His love.
Amen. And I was just going to say that a lot of times when we're going through a particular situation, we think that it should be answered one way, and we become anxious. I become anxious when the way that you think that, oh, surely this is what God would want, or I don't know, but I think that this is what the Lord would have. And when it doesn't happen that way, you start to question, even, does God even hear me? You know, when what we need to do is to continue to pray. And God is, I believe, teaching us that as we come, and by His grace we're still living, and when the very vast, very, very last portion of the end of days comes upon us and we're here, will we truly know how to agonize with God and know that He does hear us and know that, okay, He just wants us to continue to trust Him? It's hard. You know, I'm going through something currently, and, you know, as I'm thinking, okay, it should be one way, and it's not going that way, and it's distressing. And, you know, I continue to pray, and I have to realize that it's not in my time. It's not according to what I think it should be, but it has to be in God's time and according to what He decides that it should be, and continue to agonize in prayer with God. And just know, and as the text says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that He is God, creator of the universe. There is nothing too small for Him. So we just have to trust Him.
Amen indeed. And, you know, you mentioned something that is common to us all. We think that the best answers to our prayers are in one particular direction. But again, that's depending on self for the wisdom to know the best possible answer. Now, Christ pled with the Father there in the Garden of Gethsemane to remove the cup so that He wouldn't have to go through the crucifixion at that time. I imagine the Savior still wanted more time to seek more souls with the truth. But He said, not my will, but your will be done. And we need to do the same, even though we may not like God's will yet. We know He's all wise, and He knows the end from the beginning, and we are all foolish and cannot see far off. So even though we may not like the answer to our prayers, yet we trust Him. And it's that word trust, especially when it goes against our own desires, that we need to learn and depend upon, come what may. And praise God for not giving up on us when we failed Him so many times in the past, just like with Israel. He put up with their rebellion. Repentance, rebellion, repentance, apostasy, repentance, rebellion, repentance for 1,500 years until He finally had enough when they crucified his son. We don't have 1,500 years. All we have is however long we're alive. But God is still in mercy, unwilling that we should perish, but instead come to a saving knowledge and practice of the truth. So may we learn the lesson and not rebel against God anymore, not trust self anymore, or our own wisdom or desires. It's okay to tell God what you want. It's not okay to try and force him to give you what you want against his will. Question in the room, it says, did the cup represent the mission that Christ had to do? Well, the cup represented there in the Garden of Gethsemane was the cup of suffering. And it was at the very last part of the mission of Christ where that cup of suffering, that willingness to follow the will of God, even though it meant certain death, trembled in the hands of Christ. But he didn't drop it. He clung to it and drank it down to its dregs. Everything was emptied from that cup. Because Christ was doing the will of his Father. He suffered, tasted the second death, so that you and I would not have to. So that cup didn't represent his mission per se. It represented the suffering that Christ would go through because of our sins. Now, it's interesting. When you look at Isaiah 51, I believe it is, it brings up another cup. A cup that the 144,000 will have to drink. But it mentions that just before they drink it to its dregs, that it's given into the hands of the wicked, and they will suffer the second death. Christ has already drunk that cup. The 144,000 don't have to drink it that far because Christ has drunk it for them. So that Garden of Gethsemane experience that Christ went through is a similar experience that the 144,000 are going through. And so the 144,000 will have learned this important lesson, not my will, but thy will be done. Self has been crucified that Christ might be uplifted. Wherever he leads the way, they follow the Lamb. May we learn that lesson. Amen. Thank you, sister. Isaiah 51:17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. And then in verse 22, thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury, thou shalt no more drink it again. And the next verse, it says, I have put it into the hands of them that have afflicted thee. So the wicked. And they will be no more. Amen, and thank you. So the next paragraph. On one occasion, the son of an Israelitish woman and of an Egyptian, so a mixed multitude, one of the mixed multitude that had come up with Israel from Egypt, left his own part of the camp and entered that of the Israelites, claiming the right to pitch his tent there. If you remember, the mixed multitude were not fully Israelite and yet were not fully Egyptian. So they were half and half. And because they were not fully Israelite, they didn't have a place to pitch among the 12 tribes, so they pitched in the outskirts of the camp. Okay, so one of these children of the mixed multitude decided that he was enough Israelite in order to pitch his tent among one of the tribes. Continuing. This the divine law forbade him to do. The descendants of an Egyptian being excluded from the congregation unto the third generation. A dispute arose between him and an Israelite, and the matter, being referred to the judges, was decided against the offender. Enraged at the decision, he cursed the judge, and in the heat of passion blasphemed the name of God. So, he was upset that the decision didn't go in his favor, allowed anger to take a hold of him to the point that it controlled his mouth, and he cursed the judge. And he also took the name of God in vain. He blasphemed the name of God. Amen. Sometimes anger will do that. If we don't keep it crucified. Just because you feel angry does not give you the right to express anger. You need to take time to decide whether the anger is justified or unjustified, whether it's based upon selfishness or based upon some wrong being done towards God or his cause. So self, including emotions, including passions, need to be kept in check of God's word. But this particular individual, half Egyptian, half Israelite, did not keep his anger in check, did not trust the decision of the judge, and thus cursed him, all because this individual decided that they had a right to pitch their tent wherever they wanted to, irregardless of God's direction. Amen. Psalms 141:3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And what is that watch? It's the Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit as a gatekeeper, a doorkeeper, that will prick our hearts before we give vent to words, before we perform actions. Amen, a bridle keeper. We must allow the Spirit to guide us in what we say, what we do, how we do it, how much to say, how little to say, or if to say anything. Sometimes silence is the best reprover against evil. Not always, but sometimes it is. It just depends on the situation. The Spirit would know. So send the Spirit, O Lord, to guard my mouth and to keep the door of my lips so that self doesn't burst through and make a mess of it. So here this half-Egyptian, half-Israelite, mixed multitude individual became upset at the decision. He allowed his anger to come forth in words that cursed the judge and continued until he had blasphemed God. Now, Egypt is a symbol for the world. Israelite is a symbol for God's people. So in this day and age, this mixed multitude individual, this half Egyptian, half Israelite, would be likened to a worldly Christian. Half the world, half a Christian. If you're half worldly and half following God, then you're not fully God's child. You're a mixed multitude. You don't have a right to be among the camp of God. By God's commandment. Amen. Laodicea, lukewarm. Half worldly, half a follower of God. But in reality, it's 99% worldly and only 1% following God. So we look at it as being 50% warm and 50% hot and 50% cold. But in reality, it's almost frozen. Just 1% hot. The rest cold. So if we have problems with our anger being vented through our lips and we end up saying things we really don't mean, but we're angry and it just flows out, then we're not a follower of God. We are like a mixed multitude. And until we are converted and become 100% for God, we will not gain His favor. So after he cursed the judge and then continued on to blaspheme God, that's when it got serious. Continuing. He was immediately brought before Moses. The command had been given, he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21:17. But no provision had been made to meet this case. He cursed the judge. So terrible was the crime that there was felt to be a necessity for special direction from God. The man was placed in ward until the will of the Lord could be ascertained. God himself pronounced the sentence. By the divine direction, the blasphemer was conducted outside the camp and stoned to death. So if you blaspheme God in the heat of anger, what's to be your sentence? Amen. Death. Those who had been witnesses to the sin, or witness to the sin, place their hands upon his head, thus solemnly testifying to the truth of the charge against him. Then they threw the first stones, and the people who stood by afterward joined in executing the sentence. Now, there's a comment in the room that says, by him cursing the judge, that was not good, but blaspheming God is a death sentence. And I don't know if it would not have been a death sentence for him to curse the judge as well. But definitely for him to blaspheme God, it was a death sentence. Because if you curse your father or mother, then that was a death sentence. So cursing a judge, I don't know. But in this situation, he went beyond just cursing another human being, and he cursed the God of Israel, the one that he had professed to be following. And that's what anger can do. It can lead you into following a path that ends in destruction. And it can be impossible to recover from the words spoken. So that's what occurred back under the old covenant. We're under a new covenant now. We have Christ's word that God can be cursed. We can curse Christ. And yet we can still find forgiveness. But if we blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, we can't find forgiveness. So I hope none of us will allow our anger to get the best of us, but that we will get the best of our anger and keep it in check by the divine grace and strength of the Holy Spirit being given to us. Now, how hard would it have been for those witnesses to put their hands upon the head of the guilty man and testify to the truth of the charge against him? I mean, it's one thing to give your testimony that you heard this individual or saw this individual do that. But to actually put your hands on his head and solemnly testify that you saw or heard him do this. How difficult would have that been? Now, if you think that would be difficult to do, how much more difficult would it have been to throw the first stones at him, since the sentence was death? This was God's will. God himself was the one that pronounced the sentence. God himself was the one that delivered the penalty. But it was the people that executed the sentence. What if they would have refused to throw the stones? What would have happened to them? They would have been in rebellion against God's will. Their lack of compliance with God's will would have allowed a sinner to continue spreading the sin. so however hard it was for them to do those things, they were following the will of God and not their own will. Now, we're talking about the old covenant here. We're not talking about the new covenant. We're not talking about following the same execution of the sentence against guilty today. That's not our place. We're no longer under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant. So what we're discussing here is not for us to do today, but it was what took place in the past. So then what principles can we learn from what took place in the past? Again, self must be crucified before we will be able to follow where God leads the way. Self must die before we can follow the Lamb. Our own will must be given up before we can follow the will of God. So then these individuals not only testified to the sins that they saw and heard, but they also were the ones that executed the sentence, no matter how hard that would have been for them to do that. It was God's will. And for them to refuse to do it would have allowed that sin to go unpunished. It would have allowed that sin to spread. And they would have been held responsible for the spreading of that sin because they refused to put a check to it. Amen. It would have spread like a cancer. So not only were the words that this man yelled at the judge and against God, those words were heard by the judge and by all of those around. They were heard by the witnesses. If nothing had been done, then it would have been like a seed, a tear in their hearts. And it would have sprung up later at a time when they least expected it. But because of this judgment taking place, it helped to weed out that terror from their hearts before it got a chance to take hold and ruin their life. Amen. Just like Korah's rebellion in the first place. If nothing had been done to Korah and those that chose to follow him, then that would have destroyed any chance of the children of Israel being used by God in the future. Everyone would have been doing their own thing, been following their own will, their own way, their own selfishness. So in this day and age, when there are wrongs apparent among us, and it's out in the open, there's witnesses, are we going to before I open it up to testimonies or songs, anything else you'd like to share? I want to thank you for your prayers for God to rule and overrule in the issue that I mentioned before about some very important information going out. And for the past several years, the Lord has led me to dig into the practices of ancient Babylon to expose that entire wicked system so that individuals will know who and what is Babylon today just by understanding how it was in the past. And a part of that information has already been released on our website. So if you'd like to know more about Babylon and then be able to compare how it's being repeated today, especially in the churches, you can visit our website in the Babylon section and then click the link Ancient Babylon. And you'll see a whole selection of different things that the ancient Babylonians were involved in and practiced, including church and state being linked together, including Sunday being the worship day of the Babylonians, including the type of music that they were involved in, and a whole bunch of other things. So, again, thank you for your prayers, and I would please request that you continue to pray on this matter, because I know that the devil's not going to be very happy about the information going forth, and so he's going to do whatever he can through his agents, wherever they may be, to reveal his anger. So I do thank you for your continued prayers and also for hearts to be opened and benefited by the material. Are there any other thoughts, comments, testimonies, songs, anything else that you'd like to bring forth? Please feel free.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Hugs and love. Brother Rob, are you going to have a track on that particular as far as the Babylonian information? You know me, I'm always looking for something to hand out.
I don't know about a track. There's so much information that it'd be very difficult to get it in a track. But there is going to be a printed matter released, and we're in the stages of getting that prepared. So, again, thank you for your prayers. But a track, it would be really difficult. I'd almost have to limit it to one particular topic in order to put a track together. But I'll definitely keep that in mind.
You said you were working on a booklet or something. I'm sorry. You know, I only have the phone. I don't have a computer. Are you working on a booklet or a small book on that topic? Is that what you had said? I'm sorry.
Yes. I said printed material, but it's going to be more of a book than a booklet. And that's in the works. So I have no idea how long it's going to take, but Lord willing, it will come forth. But in the meantime, a good portion of it is on the website, so the information can spread like wildfire, Lord willing. It doesn't have to wait for the printed word to come out. So, again, thank you very much for your prayers, and God did answer them. Everything went smoothly in getting it online and uploaded without any problems. Power remained on. Computers worked great. So praise God indeed. There's been a request for the hymn, I Will Follow Thee, My Savior. And please feel free to take a verse. I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoe'er my lot may be. Where thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace.
Though the road be rough and thorny, trackless as the foaming sea, thou hast trod this way before me, and I'll gladly follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee.
Though I meet with tribulations, sorely tempted though I be, I remember thou wast tempted, and rejoice to follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee.
Though through great and fierce affliction, poor forsaken though I be, thou wast destitute afflicted, and I only follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace, I'll follow thee.
Though to Jordan's rolling billows, cold and deep thou leadest me, thou hast crossed the waves before me, and I still will follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee. Self fully crucified, and by his grace we will then be able to follow where he leads. And praise his holy name. Well, our dear sister Susan sent me the YouTube link for her testimony last Friday dealing with the woodpecker. And if it's okay with her, I'll go ahead and put it into the room, and then she can give us a follow-up on it, and if she's seen the woodpecker anymore or what has taken place since. So let me go ahead and put it in the room. I'm sorry, dear ones. I made the same mistake I made before by loading in the YouTube link on a different computer than what I came into the room on earlier. So forgive me for the delay. It's my fault. And now that I'm on the computer that I loaded it in, I will now bring up the YouTube. Amen. And that was excellent, dear Sister Susan. And that indeed was a palliated woodpecker. It looks a little bit young there, but that was definitely a palliated. And, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. And he is young. I have the original parents that were on the property. And this year, there were four young males that were born. And unfortunately, if you saw those ladders and you saw those trees, well, that's where I was, and that's where he was. And Sister Lynn, bless her heart, she can testify that I have nothing but woods where I am. And she knows some of those trees. These are giant oak trees. But talking about putting your faith in the Lord and letting him lead and guide you, if it wasn't for the Lord to keep me safe, I don't know. But yes, he was hanging from the trees, and only by the grace of God, you know, was he released. The update on the little woodpecker is that he is home with mom and dad and brothers. I let him go when I felt that he was well enough. There was no broken wing, praise the Lord. He did lose, in the little picture that you saw, I can't just put a picture of a woodpecker on YouTube, so I had to make the little video. But he did have the vines, and once I got the vines removed, yeah, I washed it with colloidal silver and a few other things that I put together on him. And God is awesome. I mean, he just takes care of everybody and everything, even down to a little woodpecker. But once again, Brother Rob, if you know that type of woodpecker, you know they can screech. And boy, when that little thing made noise, it was like a hideous beast in the woods. I felt so bad for him. But praise the Lord, he's out. He's back home with his parents and his little family. And thank you for sharing my videos. I don't sing because I don't want to scare anybody. I don't read very well because I can't see. So I make little videos and pictures. So that's my contribution. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Hugs and love to all. Sabbath blessings.
Well, Sabbath blessings to you too, dear sister. And thank you for sending the link and allowing us to share it here in the room. And regarding palliated, I know how loud they can be, but I've never heard them screech. So I just know that when they fly overhead and may even be, you know, a tenth of a mile away, you can definitely hear their squawking going on as they're setting the boundaries of their territory for other palliateds to take note of. But I could just imagine the screeching would have been just as loud, if not louder. So praise God that it all turned out okay. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other songs? Any other testimonies? Any questions or requests for prayer or anything else before we have closing?
I would like to request prayer for me, if that's okay. You know, the studies was talking about opening your mouth and saying and putting your foot in the proverbial mouth. That's me most of the time. Sometimes I speak before I think, and, you know, whether it's angry or just because of stupidity, but that's pretty much my downfall. I say what I want to say, and sometimes I don't use any finesse. I don't sugarcoat anything. I'm only a black and white person. I say what I got to say. So I need help over there. And I guess God is working on it with me. And the same thing with my patients. I definitely don't have the patience of Job. So I'm requesting prayer. Thank you. Hugs and love to all.
Amen, dear sister. We'll be keeping that in prayer as well. Wednesday evening, I had mentioned that I was praying over a situation with my family and a situation that I didn't really go into detail about. I kind of feel impressed to give a little more information regarding it. It's actually regarding my mom, and she's going through what can be a very serious situation, a possible blockage, intestinal blockage, and nothing, even the natural remedies that I've been doing, have been helping so far. And I know a lot of times we're told that these things go but by fasting and prayer. That along with possibly having to be a caregiver for her full time, which would mean leaving my job and what to do about bills and things like that. It's weighing on me because I don't know what to do. Even the doctors are kind of baffled. Tests that have been done have come back negative, and so I really don't know what to do. And I do know that if the regular process that we have to go through or should go through on a daily basis of getting rid of toxins is not done, I know that that backup can be quite serious. And so that is my prayer, that somehow the Lord would show me what to do, or would, just as he opened the womb for Hannah when she wanted a child and couldn't, and even, was it Rachel even, that and they were able to have children. I'm asking the Lord to unblock her intestines. And, I mean, I pray that it's not that, you know, I'm being selfish or maybe something in my life that would be hindering my prayers.
You mentioned that your mom has gone through the natural remedies, the natural laxatives, I assume. Like Casa Sagrada and psyllium seed and those, and it still has not worked. And she's also been to see physicians. Oh, okay, not yet. How many days, if you don't mind me asking, has she? Oh, wow, 2 weeks now. And you've tried enemas as well, and that still has not brought out anything? Okay. Is she passing gas?
No, unfortunately. And that is what is distressing, because you would think that with an enema, the main thing would be that there would be an expulsion. So I do have a colonic board, and I'm thinking to try that. They did a CT scan, but nothing was shown. This past week, the doctor said getting rid of a couple of medicines she's on, that perhaps that's causing some sort of blockage. They did a tactical when I took her to the ER last week, and they didn't feel anything there. So I'm kind of unsure what the situation is or what's causing it. I've been trying to have her basically on a very bland diet, and I did some cabbage juicing yesterday, and she drank some yesterday, and she just didn't want it today. So I'm...
All right. Well, thank you, dear sister, for giving a little more information. I know that if her diet is good and she's still not passing after 2 weeks, then that is really a big problem. But if her diet is not that good, and she's not eating solid food but liquid food, and, you know, that may not be as troublesome. if you understand. What bothers me is her not being able to expel gas, because that shows that there may be a blockage in there somewhere, and it's just building up pressure. But, you know, I can understand you taking her to the ER, and they did a practical exam where they actually, you know, examined with their hands the bowel track and did not find any problem. So, you know, we definitely will uphold this in our prayers and continue to lift her up before the Lord, and for the Lord to give you wisdom in what to do and how to do it, and if need be to involve others in her situation. I know Sister Yi Yi has a medical background, and she might be able to give you a little more guidance in that area. And Lord willing, she'll be here in the room tomorrow. So I'm sure she'd love to help.
Thank you so much. And as I said, you know, in the past, I have really shied away from specifically asking for prayer for myself or my family. I tend to only just say, you know, unspoken or what have you. But, you know, when things are as serious as they are at the moment, I felt impressed to go ahead and speak a little more freely with the church family to solicit specific prayer for exactly what's going on. And I don't want to take up all my time. I mean, take up all the church's time on this, but I just felt led to go ahead and give a little more specific details into what was happening.
Well, amen, and thank you, dear sister. And it's not a problem for you to take up time in the room. I mean, that's what we're here for. If we are indeed a church family, then there should be no problem or hesitancy in bringing up issues that the family can definitely help you with. And let us please bow our heads on this issue, and whoever would like to pray, please feel free. So let us bow our heads. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you already know of this situation. It's been brought to your attention through prayer and intercessory prayer as well. And we pray that you will continue to work in this issue. And dear Savior, as her great physician, please bring healing relief. Allow whatever obstruction to dissipate, and allow the functions to go back to normal. But all according to thy will. And we thank you, dear Savior, for your love, compassion, and tender love for our dear sister Lynn and her precious mother, as well as the family. Thank you for giving wisdom. So, dear sister, don't worry. It's in God's hands, and he'll allow the perfect outcome and will to be done. And please give your precious mother a Christian hug from us all, and let her know we're praying for her. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we have closing prayer? Please go right ahead. Well, it's time for a closing prayer, and whoever would like to offer that, please go right ahead.
Good Almighty Lord, bow our heads and our hearts and come humbly before our Godhead. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning and bringing us through this week. Thank you for the lessons that were taught today. And Lord, thank you for giving us your words of truth and inspiration, dear Father God. May we dive into them more deeply, and may we hold on to the words, hold it in our mind and our hearts, that whenever we are assailed by tests and trials, that we may not become weak, dear Father God, but we may stand according as thus saith the Lord, dear Father God, and trust in your merits that you are able to deliver us from all things. And that if we pray, Lord, and if it doesn't go according to how we perceive it to go, that we mustn't give up, but we must look up, dear Father God, and hold on to you, dear Father God, to know that nothing is before its perfect, your perfect timing, and that you are knower and seer and hearer and all wise, dear Father God, and you wouldn't allow us to go through anything if it wasn't for our own benefits. So help us not to look to self and help us not to look internally, but to look to you, dear Father God, and to understand that sometimes in the midst of silence that we should listen for your voice, dear Father God, and not sink deeper into doubt and distress. Dear Father God, you are master, healer, a chief physician. You know this body that you have made, and man knows nothing but so little, dear Father God. I pray that you, by the grace and mercy and love, show a way for this dear sister to have a great relief and to work a miracle in her situation, dear Father. Please, Lord, I know that you are willing and able. You say anything that you ask on your Sabbath day, that you will grant it. So help us to stand in faith, dear Father God. Help us to believe that you will heal her, dear Father God. And let it be so, dear Father God, I pray. I know it's according to your perfect will, but let not our sins and our iniquities or anything that we have done hinder our prayers up to you in this great deliverance. Please also, Lord, I pray that you will heal my headache, dear Father God, that I'm having, and the spiritual defect and the spiritual malady, dear Father God, and help me to truly not just speak these words, but to truly believe them as they escape, dear Father God, and know that you truly are able, and to hold on to the confidence of the beginning of my faith to know and remember all of us where you have brought us from and where we are today. Lord, I pray for all those who are sick and afflicted, dear Father, that you will be their master physician and touch us all from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet and make us whole according to your perfect will. We know according to our faith that it shall be, dear Father God. So please, dear Father, I pray, be with us, strengthen us, guide us, lead us, and send your Holy Spirit to encamp around us in all our homes, dear Father God, wherever we may be. Please be with the brethren that are here tonight. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquities. And Lord, I pray that for all the brethren that are listening over the phone, for those that will be listening at a later time, and for those that are not here, we lift them up, dear Father God, for whatever reason, and may you send your Holy Spirit to be in the midst of them. Help them, dear Father, if they're not upholding the Sabbath, to remember your first commandment, dear Father God, and to return to it, dear Father, I pray. Thank you for already working out everything according to your perfect will, and help us to stand and be patient in your love and in your mercy. Thank you so much for answering this prayer, dear Father God, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, dear sister. And so sorry to hear that you have a headache, and we will definitely keep that in prayer. Dear Sister Lynn, a couple things came to mind. How much water is your mother drinking? Is it enough water? Lots. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That answers one concern. Because if she's dehydrated, then that's just going to absorb water from the waste and will slow that process down. So another thing is that if she spikes a fever, then that is something that may be very serious, and I would encourage you taking her to the hospital. But without a fever, without, you know, anything spiking or anything like that, then it may just be a waiting game.
Right. Amen. Thank you so much, dear Elder Robin. The thing is that the doctor, as I said, she was said that perhaps her taking of furosemide or Lasix to stop that for a while just this week to see if that would help. I don't know. And, of course, because not taking that to stop the potassium, because those two things perhaps could be contributing, I don't know. She has never had a problem with drinking the water, praise the Lord. I do. I have to force myself to drink, unfortunately. But praise the Lord, she does drink a lot of water. So that's not it. And the thing that is so disconcerting is the fact that you would think an enema should go and almost you would get results immediately. And when that didn't happen, that's when my concern was spiked even more, and I did take her to the ER. So, like you say, it could just be a waiting game. Her pressure has been good. Her temperature has not been high. But, in other words, thank you so much, dear ones, for your prayers.
We will indeed continue praying, and we'll definitely add our dear sister, Cece, in with prayers as well. And, dear sister, may God give you rest. And a pain-free sleep, and wake you up refreshed and invigorated and without that headache, is our prayer. Well, dear ones, may God bless. May He continue to work in your life, to lead and guide you, and may you come ever closer to Him and farther away from self, that you may indeed rest in His love and follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. And I'd like to leave you with this next scripture song, Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto. According to thy word shall a young man cleanse his way. Psalms 119, verse 9.